The reading today is from Psalm 65, verses 1 to 3. Praise is rightfully yours, God in Zion. Vows to you must be fulfilled, for you answer prayer. All flesh must come to you with all its sins. Though our faults and sins overpower us, you blot them out. Amen.
Didn't Tracy do well? Thank you. Thank you. We're doing the part way through a series of psalms. And I'd like to, Matt's not here. Andrew's here, yeah. I'd like to thank them both for their introduction and their encouragement to be thankful, to praise, and that notion of letting your sigh come to the Lord and then listening and waiting for his response. I had the privilege of choosing my favourite psalm. So actually quite a difficult task because there are several that I really love, each one of which has in some way impacted on my life quite significantly. They're not because I like the words, because they've actually had an effect on me, which is, of course, what the Word of God is seeking to do, because it's alive and active. Anyway, I chose Psalm 65 for one main reason. And it's in that verse, but I'll talk about it as we go on. Now, when I was prepping this, I prepared two adult sermons and thought, no, so I put those aside and maybe one day they'll get spoken. I just felt God was saying to me, I want you to make this a youngster's talk. So all youngsters, are you listening at the moment? Yes? Good. Thank you. Even the older youngsters. Because what I was going to say was, I want to involve you all, especially you youngsters, because the ideas that I'm going to talk about affected me so much that I became a Christian when I was about 5 or 6. Now, I'm hoping that what we do, as is often the way with, inverted commas, a child's talk, the simplicity will have a profound effect on the adults too, that their lives will change as the Word of God impacts on them. I said there was one phrase, and the reason I chose the psalm, I'll be talking about it later. I'm going to start now with what might seem an unusual topic. Failure. Now, any young people, can you give me a definition of failure? Did you hear that? You've tried something and you've not succeeded. Anybody else want to add anything? Oh, right. Well, the good news, Percy, is you were thinking just the same as him. Well, actually, the word failure has lots of similar but quite different emphases or meanings. And it can go from rejection, total breakdown, right through to inadequate, falling short, not completing, disappointing. But now, I want to think about dark failure. When I was about 12 or 13, I'd tried to learn to swim lots of times. I hadn't been able to do it. And I was on a camp with a number of other lads, teenagers and youngsters. And we'd been taken to the coast. And we're all in the water swimming. What I didn't know was that underwater it suddenly shelved very steeply and I couldn't swim. So I'm doing whatever I'm doing, and all of a sudden, poof, a wave knocks me forward, and I find myself actually out of my depth, and the wave's turning me over, and I don't know whether I'm up or down. There's cloudy water. I can't swim. I can't get my breath. I tell you, at that moment, I had a feeling of dark failure, deadly failure. Well, here I am. So obviously somebody saved me. Anyway, Do you know, I did that without looking at my notes. Need to make sure. Yeah, we're doing all right. Okay. There we go. Right. Now, I want everybody's help on this, because I'm going to try and help you to show something more about what failure is. Yep. I think we should have a red thing up now. Yep, good. Is there anyone here? Are you all listening? Sabella, are you listening? Good, okay. Is there anybody here who, whenever there's something they try to stop, they've always been able to stop it? Oh, no hands. All right, what about this? Is there anybody here who, whenever you've wanted to do something, you've always been able to do it? Any hands? Okay. The point is, everybody in this room, whether they're older than me, which is very unlikely or not, each one of us knows what it is to not be able to do what you really try to do and to not stop something that you wish you could. Now, I want you to do something else for me now. I'm going to do it as well. I've got my piece of paper here, my pencil. What I want you each to do, and if you can't write, or you don't want to write, I would still like you to take part. I would like you to think about what I'm asking you to do, which is, what is the darkest failure that you may never have told anybody else about, that even at this moment is lurking at the back of your mind? Okay? You don't have to write it down. You don't have to do this, but I want you to recognize it at least and remember it for later. Okay? So if you're joining in with me, you've all got a piece of paper and a pencil. Please write in not more than 10 words that dark failure. Don't let anybody else see what you're doing. This is between you and God. Only He will know when I read out three later on. Only He will know whether it's yours or not. I won't know. Okay? So I'm going to start now. You as well, please. No more than 10 words. That dark failure. Right, I put mine in the bag. So please, will you, if you've written down, here's a bag. Come and pop it in as quick as you can, please, if you want to get back for the match today. Thank you. Or send it out to somebody else. Fold it up, though, so that nobody else knows what it is. Come on, come on. So in a very nice way, sorry. Very nice way. If that sounded a bit imperative, I apologise. If you just put one word down, it doesn't matter that you haven't written 10 words. All right, just a word. Fold it up and put it in this bag if you want to. All right. It's like one of those television adverts, isn't it? You know, for the Lotto or something like that? One. Somebody said cheating. That's a very honest one. Somebody said anger. Not being able to stop someone close making a mistake. Right, I'm going to put these in the back. Fold it up again. I want an adult and a child now, please. I'd like the adult to help the child. What I'm going to ask you to do is take these out and shred them, okay? While I'm talking, get it done. If when we come to the time of prayer, you're still shredding, stop. And I'll do it later, because there's something in the significance of this. Notice, some of you, I haven't prayed, I haven't done anything. All we've done is acknowledge something, put it in the bag, and somebody is going to deal with it. Whether you pray or not, that is what we've been praising Jesus for. That before we existed, He sorted it all out for us. Okay? So, well, it doesn't need to be a child. If there's a child wanting to do it, grab an adult. You've got to have an adult with you. Ooh, difficult one here. I think I'm going to choose Lillian, actually. You do very well, by the way, Joel. I love the way you volunteer so frequently. Thank you. All right, we need an adult to help Lillian, please. Thank you, Ian. Right, there's a bag. And all you do is just there, there's a little trigger. And as you push it, it'll take them up. Okay. Now, it's difficult not to pay attention to that. That was a bad point of my illustration. So, everybody, adults and children, see, watch where I put one more in so you can see what happens and hear it. There you go. All right. Okay. Somebody is shredding it while we talk. Now, when I was 5 or 6, I was a really naughty little boy. Some people would have actually said I was wicked. And I was very good at looking like I was a good boy. But in my head, I was thinking, planning, and if you weren't watching, I could have been doing something bad. So I'm telling you about what I was like when I was a little boy. And I could appear really good and people would say, what a nice little boy. But inside, it was a different story. Now, I'm not going to tell you why that happened or how I ended up in that place when I was such a small child. But it was a very significant event of a kind of failure. Okay. Now, my parents took us to some sort of special preacher. I don't know who it was. I can't remember anything about it. When we came home, went to bed, I was crying. And my mum was putting me to bed. And she asked me what was wrong. And I said I was feeling sad and unhappy. And she very perceptively realised that actually I was struggling with guilt. And so she talked to me about how the fact that Jesus Christ had dealt with all of that, that he died and taken my punishment. Because punishment was something that I feared because I deserved lots of it. And she said that if you ask Jesus to, he will forgive you. And if you ask him, he will help you to be different. And so I did. I'd like to say that I became a good boy straight away and I never did anything else wrong. But that wasn't true. But what I can tell you is, from that point onwards, Jesus has been working with me. Whenever I've let him, and he's always forgiven me, and he's actually taught me how to obey him. Now, why I chose Psalm 65 and verse 3 in particular to bring to you was for another reason. In my late 30s, I had a very long time of depression. And when you're depressed, you feel a failure, you feel unhappy, you feel sad, guilty, angry. And then I came across this phrase in Psalm 65. It was a powerful source of hope to me. And it began to deal with my relying on my, I was a Christian, by the way, but it began to deal with me trying to be good as opposed to letting him be good in me. Learning to hear him and obey him and to turn away from the tumult, you know, the waves I talked about. To be honest, even now, inside my head, it's like waves washing about. And I'm learning to hear a quiet voice. And he gives me his peace, a peace I didn't know then when I was 30. Is it up? This is why. Though our faults or sins overpower us. You blot them out. And it hit me like a sledgehammer. Get it? I've dealt with it. Learn to live in my victory, in my work. And he began a change that still continues. And I know some of you know that same process and are in it as well, because we've spoken about it. Now, I hope that there's here today any child or adult, whether you're a Christian or not, that has got, who's written something down there. Or do you remember those of you, I asked you to do it and put it in your mind. Now is the time to bring it to the front. Do you want Jesus to deal with it? That is the question. Because you know you can't. Even although you want to. The amazing thing about this is that David wrote this under the Mosaic law. Paul tells us that nobody could do it. Yet David, by the Holy Spirit, saw what was going to happen through Christ. And he got a glimpse and a taste of it then. And another Old Testament writer, Isaiah, he said, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Now, I'm already over time, but I've got 2 minutes. I've only had a 60% success rate at this, okay? Of these two, which one do you think represents us? This one here or this one here? One on the left, yes? All agreed on that? I agree. Okay, so blot them out. Ba-boom! Thank you, God. Oh, hang on, it needs a bit more. That's very significant. Do you know what? The power is there, but we resist, and so sometimes it needs more grace. That's just what's happened. So when you become a Christian, this is what happens. You are now in Christ. Watch. Can you see what's happening? As soon as the sin touches what represents Jesus, it is no more. Hallelujah. Right. I think I've said all that. Yeah. I'll just say one more thing. Yeah. Psalm 65, verse 2. Oh, put up 1 Peter 1, 3:18, because that's really worth sticking up. I'll read it out. Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. And Psalm 65, verse 2 says, all flesh must come to you with all its sins. What that means is there's going to come a time when everybody is going to have to take responsibility for what they've done and how they've responded to the incredible grace of Jesus, who before they knew it, dealt with all their sins. Now, if you're somebody who hasn't yet acknowledged and responded to that, today is the day. Because if not, one day you're going to have to account for it and take the consequences of actually what is a rubbish decision. Those of us who are Christians will still have to account for our sin, but he will say, blot it out, blot it out, blot it out, and we'll come into his presence and nothing will separate us from his love like it has down here. So we're going to pray now. I will pray. If you're a Christian who knows you're under failure, those of you who are rejoicing in the truth of what I've told you, please give thanks to praise God in your heart now. But will you pray for anybody else here this morning, whether they know Jesus or not, who is struggling with this kind of failure? They can't stop or they can't do it. And if you're somebody... I've looked round. I thought, actually, most of the people in this room, I know from experience, are Christians. So it's probably children this is for. But if you don't know that you've given your heart to Jesus and asked him to forgive you, now's the time to do it, okay? So I'm going to pray, and if you agree with my prayer, say amen at the end of it. Father God, what a father. What a saviour. What a generous, forgiving, gracious God you are. Thank you. You know the hearts of each of us. Please help us each to move forward in the way that you want, to trust you that you have done all that is necessary, that we can be in you. And if we've never come to that place, help us to, by faith, put our trust in you now. Faith in what you've done. And if we've done that before, but we're struggling, Holy Spirit, please come and help us to find this place of peace, of putting to death our old nature, because you are in us and we are in you. Bring your peace, grace, and love to each of us now, I ask, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.